WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn.
CBS News on the hour.
But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Republicans have nominated Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana to be Speaker of the House, the fourth candidate for the job in just 2 weeks. This is CBS's Nicole Killian on Capitol Hill.
Johnson was elected after House Republican Whip Tom Emmer couldn't secure enough support.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
Emmer was Speaker designate for about 4 hours before.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
A call from TVS Sports, in fact, the Diamondbacks.
Why are inter-school athletes forced called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Especially if you look at troops massed near the border with the Gaza Strip.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby acknowledges an invasion would cause collateral damage.
This is war. It is combat. It is bloody. It is ugly. And it's going to be messy. And innocent civilians are going to be hurt.
Hurricane Otis is now a catastrophic Category 5 storm and has made landfall near Acapulco. It could drop as much as 5 to 10 inches of rain on Guerrero State, with as much as 15 inches possible in some areas. Another strike in progress.
The St. Lawrence Seaway, a crucial marine shipping route that links the Great Lakes to the Atlantic Ocean, has been shut down after nearly 400 union workers went on strike. They want better pay to keep up with the rising cost of living.
If it wasn't for the St. Lawrence Seaway, the Lakes region and the rest of the world would not be connected the way they are with the seaway there.
Aaron Benziger is with Chicago-based Central Marine Logistics.
CBS's Jim Krasula. NHL players are going to be allowed to use pride tape this season. The league and the players' union agreed to give players the option to represent societal causes with stick tape during warm-ups, practices, and at games. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Efforts to pay for upkeep at American Family Field and keep the Brewers in Milwaukee for an extra 20 years take another step today. A state Senate committee takes testimony on a bill that spends $546 million in public money. The deal passed the Assembly last week. Republican Dewey Strobel chairs the committee. He says he hopes to have enough votes to pass it in time for the Senate to pass it in November. Part of Interstate 90 in Wisconsin might be renamed after the state's Native American code talkers. There's a bill in the legislature to dedicate the stretch of freeway between La Crosse and Toma, the Ho-Chunk World War II Code Talkers Memorial Highway. Code talkers used their tribal languages for secret communication to help the U.S. Army during World Wars I and II. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Packers placed two players on injured reserve. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers were back at practice after their 19-17 loss to the Broncos in Denver, but several players were missing. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
So Aaron Jones, Josh Myers, Luke Musgrave, Darnell Savage, and Eric Stokes did not practice. Then limited were Jair Alexander, Drake Campbell, Elton Jenkins, Yosh, Devontae Wyatt.
LaFleur says Jones is still sore from Sunday's game. Defensive back Eric Stokes, after missing the pass past year with a foot and knee injury, is back in IR with a hamstring, and safety Darnell Savage has been moved to the injured reserve after re-aggravating a calf muscle. Backup Jonathan Owens is expected to start at safety Sunday against the Vikings.
Football is, it's all the same, you know what I mean? It's just you have to get comfortable within the different schemes, but it just comes down to reacting and playing fast, you know, and knowing what to do. Just ready.
Baseball, Craig Counsell is headed to New York for a job interview, the Brewers granting permission to allow the New York Mets to interview Counsell to become their next manager. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky, showers developing, temps steady in the mid-50s. Showers and a few rumbles of thunder tomorrow, cloudy and a high in the low 60s. Temps drop through the 40s on Friday, cloudy, showers, and windy. Colder with snow possible for the weekend as highs drop through the 40s, only into the 30s. It's 55 right now.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Who are frankly not very nice to Jews in their personal life, are not actively pursuing liberation for their Jewish constituents here in America, are not really interested in our safety. Why are those same people who have no horse in the race, no skin in the game, for those points, so into Israel? Why? Okay, I'll tell you why. I will tell you why. And this is the genuine answer. And it's horrifying to me how few people know how much of these political decisions are being made on the basis of prophecies that, frankly, many practitioners of these religions, be them Judaism, Christianity, Islam, there are prophetic statements in Torah and in the Bible that currently elected state officials, frankly, I think, including Van Orden, are attempting to actualize by using legislation. Here is what I mean by that. To talk about Israel in a biblical way, to talk about this place we are talking about in current events as a place that has had current events for every day that there have been humans there, we have to talk about the idea of Israel as a concept, Israel as an abstract idea in the eyes and minds of many, many people for hundreds of years. We have to talk about the fact that in Torah, right, it says, hey, at one point God tells Abraham that Abraham gets all these lands. And by these lands, we mean Israel. And by Abraham, we mean Jews, because in theory, Abraham is our patriarch, right? All of us are supposed to be in this way connected back to him. Now, let me interject myself here. I'm a religious Jew. I don't feel the need to subscribe. I know for a fact because I'm a convert, in fact, that I am not biologically related to Abraham or any of these folks. They sound great. I think they're cool people to follow. But when we get to these prophetic parts, there are individuals currently elected, not elected, but just, you know, are American citizens, who believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the statements in the Bible, in Torah, are not just a story that we can learn from to inform our own decisions in life, but rather that they are completely accurate, completely to the word, what is meant. They are literal. They are literalizing the story, right? This gets complicated almost immediately when there are individuals who believe this to the letter of the word, that Israel, this concept, which is now not a concept, but rather a political state, is the same one spoken of in Torah, and that all current Jews on earth are also the same very Jews who are spoken of as being Abraham's descendants. And this gets even more complicated when the people talking about it aren't even Jews. What part do evangelicals play in it? Let me tell you as we come up to the break. Part of evangelical Christian prophecy is the belief that in order for the second coming of Jesus Christ to begin, all Jews have to be back in Israel. It's not up to us. It's not up to me. It doesn't really matter in their eyes whether or not I want to keep living here in Milwaukee or move somewhere else. No. It's time for the second coming. So you all have to get back to where you're supposed to be. And what's horrifyingly inappropriate is that some of these legislators are attempting to enact that prophecy through legislation. And I'm going to talk to you more about it when we get back from the break. Taking you to the break is the very same song you heard at the beginning, Hams in a Glass by Winona Fighter.
Hi, this is Dr. Brad Schaefer. As a podiatrist, I can tell you no two people's feet are alike, which is why I recommend Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotic Inserts. They're customized for your feet, so you get a unique solution your feet really need, not just a one-size-fits-all insole. They're clinically proven to provide pain relief for achy feet, knees, lower back, plantar fasciitis, and heels. Take the Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotics Assessment in Walmart today, now in the foot care aisle.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Tap.
I found myself an old man and I tattooed on a sign.
Welcome back. Hey, folks, fun fact. Today is a very exciting day for everyone at Civic Media. Today. Is the very exciting day where we switched, dear Lord, everything. So, just for me, for my soul, to your soul, hey, if you're hearing some dead air today, just know that about 10 to 15 very anxious engineers and producers across the state are doing what we can for you. Don't worry. And if you miss anything, hey, it'll be on Spotify, it'll be on our app. That is the beauty of the internet, folks. We can always come back to it. I understand how annoying it is. Believe me, it's even more annoying on my end. I'm the one who has to answer the messages about it. But I promise you, we've not abandoned you, Wisconsin. We are here for you. So, anyways, like I was saying, why is Derek Van Orden in Israel? Why is anyone that is like Derek Van Orden, that is to say, not involved, in Israel right now? Great question. It is because, as I was saying before the break, this belief, this idea, this ingrained concept in the eyes of, and minds more so, of many American evangelicals and of evangelicals outside of the U.S. as well, the idea that in order to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ, all Jewish people have to get back into Israel. Why? Great question. Let's do some Bible study, which is maybe my least favorite thing to say, because every time I say it to someone, they're like, no, please. I did CCD already. I'm like, don't worry. This is the Jewish version. It's the version where you're allowed to ask questions. It's quite fun. So let's back up, okay? You've got Abraham. He's in Torah. He's extremely old. When he's extremely old, he finally has a son. There is an idea that starting with Abraham, there is an unbroken genetic line through his son Isaac, through all these other guys, right? Down to Jacob, down to Joseph. Now we're in Egypt. Now we're slaves. Now we're out of Egypt. Now we're back in Israel, okay? That whole time, there is one unbroken genetic chain from Abraham down that eventually reaches Mary. You know, Mary of Mother of God fame. And then, of course, she has who? You know, Jesus. So there's this belief that there is an unbroken genetic line that extends from Abraham to Jesus. Okay, why does that matter? It doesn't if you don't care about this stuff. But here's the thing. Your elected officials who are making choices and flying out to Israel instead of taking votes, they do believe in it. And they're making choices about it. So if you don't care and this is super annoying, I get it. I'm the one who has to research it. But you kind of have to know. We're approaching perhaps now, if not 30 years ago, if not 50 years ago, if not 6,000 years ago, a point where it really doesn't matter if this is your religion or not, if you care about it or not, if you want to spend your time researching it or not, the people who are in power right now, elected or otherwise, believe in it. What else do they believe? Let's talk about it. The concept extends past the crucifixion of Jesus, past the death and resurrection, past the first couple of churches, into this idea of what happens to Israel after, right? There's destruction, people take over, it gets colonized a bunch of times by who is apparently up to your opinion, right? But Israel goes through a lot of changes. And this whole time, it's some people aren't even calling it Israel. What are its borders? We're talking about biblical ancient history. Crusades, Greeks, Assyrians, maybe? I think they were there for a bit. And all this time now, Jews are scattered everywhere. They're in Europe. They're in Africa. They're in Asia. Eventually, we make our way over here to North America and stuff. Because we can't be in Israel for a bit, right? This is where prophecy starts. This is where the Christian prophecy, the evangelical Christian prophecy regarding Jews begins, is the idea that God is upset, God's angry, that we're not in Israel right now. And he's not going to let Jesus come back and visit everyone until all the Jews are back. I'm going to read to you from, where is it? Here it is. An article that was written in the 90s. In the 90s. You'll understand why I'm so, what it says at the end is very relevant to the 90s, that summarizes this very quickly, okay? For longing, a longing for the rapture and the return of Jesus on earth is at the core of evangelicism, right? Evangelicals, this is the basis. They want this to happen. The fact that we are coincidentally approaching a millennial milestone in the human calendar certainly adds to this yearning. Most fundamentalists assume that we are living on the edge of human history in any case, and that modern events in the Middle East are fulfillments of prophecies that were made some 2,000 years ago. Those prophecies are this. Before Messiah may return, the nation of Israel must be restored, Jerusalem must be a Jewish city, and the temple, the center of worship and sacrifice in the ancient Jewish world, which was destroyed in 70 AD, must be rebuilt. Two of these conditions have been met in the last 50 years. This was the 90s, people. This was the 90s they were talking about. Evangelicals think the world's about to end because there's political stuff happening in what is now the political nation, the nation state of Israel that has a government and elected officials. We are applying things that were written about, a concept, to current day things where people are dying. That is why Derek Van Orden is in Israel. That is why otherwise very anti-Semitic individuals are talking about calling themselves pro-Israel, whatever they think that means. That is why all of these individuals who have nothing to do with this conflict are inserting themselves and their very, very loud opinions over top of the people involved, over the top of Israelis, Palestinians, Jews in the area, Muslims in the area, the people affected. The people whose really real current reality that exists here on earth, things like going to work and paying bills and taking care of their kids, they are the ones being affected by the things in the Middle East. They are the ones who are suffering from this war. They are the ones whose input must be at the top. Not someone from somewhere who thinks something about something that was written that maybe if all of us got together and moved across the world, maybe someone would show up. That's nothing. You're perfectly allowed to believe these things. You are perfectly within your rights as an American, as a human, as whatever, to believe that this is part of the future, that this is part of the conditions. What you're perhaps not allowed to do, or at least what I am going to suggest you are not allowed to do or shouldn't do, shouldn't involve yourself in, is attempting to change legislation, attempting to sway opinion, changing what people are understanding, because secretly underneath everything else, you have an ancillary belief about something that, frankly, half the people involved don't even care about. The song Taking You to the Break is a song that I've had on repeat recently. It's Raise Hell by Brandi Carlile. Enjoy.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The House is getting straight to work after electing new Speaker Mike Johnson.
The first bill that I'm going to bring to this floor in just a little while will be in support of our dear friend Israel, and we're overdue in getting that done.
Johnson's a staunch conservative from Louisiana. He replaces Kevin McCarthy. The U.S. says Israel's holding off on its ground invasion of Gaza. CBS's Tina Kraus.
U.S. officials tell CBS News Israel has delayed its ground invasion into Gaza, possibly to allow more time for negotiations to free the hostages.
Former President Trump's attorneys hope Michael Cohen's latest testimony in New York could get his fraud case scrapped.
He stormed out because they wanted to make a motion. They wanted to make a motion to dismiss the case. To which the judge responded, yeah, absolutely not.
The judge also fined Trump $10,000 for violating a gag order for attacking a clerk. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. At least 17 people have died on Wisconsin dairy farms since 2009, but only 8 of those deaths were investigated by federal workplace safety agents. That's according to an investigation by the nonprofit newsroom ProPublica. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is the federal agency responsible for workplace safety, but OSHA is banned from enforcing safety laws on many farms with fewer than 11 workers. Another day, another cyber attack in Wisconsin. This time, the Rock County Administrative Offices in Janesville says it was hit. The county's administrator says a criminal actor hacked the county's network database, encrypted some files, and demanded almost $2 million to put everything back the way it was. The headquarters of Quick Trip and American Family Insurance were also recently hacked. I'm Terry Bell. This is Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky, showers developing, temps steady in the mid-50s. Showers and a few rumbles of thunder tomorrow, cloudy and a high in the low 60s. Temps drop through the 40s on Friday, cloudy, showers, and windy. Colder with snow possible for the weekend as highs drop through the 40s, only into the 30s. It's 55 right now.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. You're listening to Charlotte Lawrence, Jokes on You, from the Harley Quinn film Birds of Prey. I haven't seen that film yet, still many years after it's come out, but I've heard many good things. Here are some not good things. Let's summarize what I just covered in the first two sections, okay? And hopefully I can tie all of this nonsense, I'll call it nonsense myself, I'm the one who has a degree in it, all of this together in a nice tight bow, right? There is a belief that the land of Israel, as it is as a concept, a religious concept, a land given to the Jews, right? Not saying that it is, just in that concept, people who adhere to that concept, including evangelical Christians, feel that the events happening currently, the events happening 10 years ago, and as we read, the events happening in the 90s, were all prophetic events. Events foretold in the Bible, events foretold in Torah that must be completed, we must get through them in order for, in the Christian idea, the second coming of Jesus to begin. Why are we talking about theology? Because there are legislators, potentially like Derek Van Orden, who's currently in Israel, despite having really no reason to be there, right? When people like that are involving themselves in these places and this legislation because they think that what they're doing will usher in some sort of new messianic age, that's scary. We don't want that. Even if you're evangelical, you shouldn't want that because, again, if that's able to happen from a Christian representative enacting that through our government, a government that is supposed to have separation of church and state, separation of religion and state, right? Even if you're an evangelical and you like what Van Orden's doing, you shouldn't want this happening through the way that he's doing it, because that means anybody else can, including me. And you're not going to like it when I show up at your local Kroger and ban bacon. I wouldn't do that, but listen, does that get your attention? I don't know what else to say anymore. All of these beliefs, this idea that Israel had to become a Jewish state and this idea that Jerusalem had to be a Jewish city, which how we consider that to be enacted when one quarter is still and should be, Jerusalem should just be a city. This idea of sectioning cities has always been bad. This doesn't work. But to say that that part of the prophecy is fulfilled when there's an Armenian quarter and a Muslim quarter, you're referencing books and not even reading them at this point, right? Evangelical prophetizers who think that what's happening right now is somehow related to something else. It's not. It's just current politics like everything else. But people feel the need to involve themselves. People feel the need that they have to defend Israel and its right to exist because in their mind, if Israel as it is right now ceases to exist, then we lose our chance at bringing Jesus back. Hey, friends, if the state of Israel ceases to exist, it's not the second coming of Jesus you need to be worried about. It's the second coming of the Holocaust that you have to be worried about. And I know how hyperbolic that sounds, but let us not forget, why was Israel made? Israel wasn't made because the countries of the world finally got their act together and went, oh no, we treated the Jews terribly for thousands of years. No, we got to make it up to them. No. It's because after the Holocaust, the whole world had to contend with what they just let happen. What the US, Canada, all of Europe, all of, frankly, everywhere else let happen. And they didn't stop it because they were so worried about the Jews. They stopped it because they were worried about the other parts of fascism that actually affect them. So this idea that it's ever been about protecting American Jews or Jews anywhere, I'm sorry, it's phooey. And that's the closest thing I can say on the radio to what I want to say. The idea that you're defending, not you, the person I'm speaking to, but the idea that someone is just defending this place, any place, because they have some idea of something that might happen related to their religion is really hurtful and really terrible. And it really doesn't help. And let me highlight as well, as to not just sound like a Jew railing against non-Jews, let me talk about the extremism within Judaism quick, a group that I referenced the last time I spoke about this, because they always come up. They cannot stay out of the spotlight. A group called Neturi Karta. And if you're thinking, how do I spell that? Yeah, I get you. It's N-E-T-U-R, is that right? E-I-K-A-R-T-A, Neturi Karta. And if you've ever watched a video for a pro-Palestinian rally or conversely an anti-Israeli rally, these can be two separate things, of course. You may at times see men dressed in Hasidic clothing, which is to say they'll have the black hat, the long black coat. Many of them have beards, right? They may seem out of place at these rallies. And they are holding signs usually that say things like, free Palestine and Israel. And people who don't know who this group are always very excited when they show up at a rally. They are excited because what they see is, oh, look, real Jews are here. Jews that I would recognize from clip art or comics as Jews. Oh, good, they're here. And what they have to say is the final word on it. Wonderful. Well, first of all, that's already not true. And you know that, and I know that. To tokenize people's never good. If you have two people from a community sitting next to each other and says, one says, I love pizza, and the other says, I hate pizza. The answer is not, oh, members of that group hate pizza. You just heard, clearly they don't, right? The point you should come to if two people from the same group have two different opinions is not an opinion about the group at all, but rather an opinion about those two individuals. It's almost like Jews are also individuals. I'm gonna get that one more time really clean, just in case anyone wants to clip it and play it off their phone for people. Jews are individuals. There, we all got it that time. Good. I shouldn't have to say it again, right? But people see Neturi Karta pull up and they have these signs and it's like, oh, good, like a vindication of our viewpoint. And hey, first of all, there are tons of anti-Zionist, anti-Israel disagree with the Israeli government, whatever you want to call it, Jews in the world who do not look like Neturi Karta. They're everywhere. We're everywhere. It's fine. Okay. But when you dive under the hood of Neturi Karta, the same way if you dive under the hood of the pro-Israeli sentiment of the evangelical wing, you will find that underneath what Neturi Karta is calling pro-Palestinian support is as much prophetic nonsense as what the evangelicals are preaching. Allow me to read to you from, just for a moment here, the Neturi Karta Wikipedia page. This group, which means Guardians of the City, was founded in Jerusalem in what at that time was called the British Mandate of Palestine, or just Palestine at that time. They founded this group on the idea that our own Jewish Messiah would show up if certain things were done. One of these things was making sure that everybody who's in Israel, who's Jewish, is like their kind of Jewish, like very adamantly their kind of Jewish. Let me read to you this exact sentence. At the time, the time being 1938, at the time they were very vocal opponents to the new political ideology of Zionism that was attempting to assert Jewish sovereignty in the Ottoman-controlled Palestine. So this group who shows up to these pro-Palestinian rallies, and everyone goes, oh, finally, the sensible Jews. They were mad back in 38 that Zionism was about to become something political and not just something religious. Next sentence, they resented the new arrivals, those new arrivals being Holocaust survivors and other people who were terrified of what was happening in the 30s and into the 40s. They resented these new arrivals who were predominantly non-religious, while they asserted that Jewish redemption could be brought about only by the Jewish Messiah. What does this mean? Let's fast forward to today. Naturi Karta is not pro-Palestinian. They are just against the current Jews who are in Israel right now who aren't them being there. And their goal, this is all online. You can read this. This is public. This is their statement from their words. It is not about getting the settlers out of illegal settlements near Gaza and the West Bank. It is not about changing how people in those two places, the Palestinians who are in those two places, are treated by the IDF and other groups. It is not about maintaining a long-term plan for Palestinian national sovereignty outside of the rule of Hamas and other terrorist organizations, nor is it about even making life in Israel for Jews better or anyone better. It is about their belief that the non-religious Jews, the ethnic but non-religious Jews, or the Jews who they think are less religious than them, which includes all other forms of orthodoxy, much less conservative, Masorti, reform, reconstructing Judaism, we all have to leave because we're not as good as them. That's the plan. And once we're out, and they, the people who seem to think that they know more than all the rest of us combined, by the way, this group only represents about 24,000 families, which sounds like a huge number, but again, very small drop in the bucket compared to any other group, including the rest of the Jewish population, right? Their goal is once all the rest of us are out and they can do whatever it is they feel they need to do, the next step is that every Jew, no matter where they live, needs to come back. Whether we lived there before or not, whether it's me, Anya, who's lived in Wisconsin her whole life, or David, who's lived in Israel his whole life, but he's got to leave right now for a little bit while they do their magic and then he can come back. It doesn't matter what I think or where I want to be. In their eyes, the only option is everyone out and then everybody right back in. And it's why I have to talk about the word Zionism. Zionism means the right for Jews to self-determine. And if you want to yell at me and say you are redefining a word that I knew to mean support of the Israeli government, too bad, so sad, because you were wrong. Womp womp. Sorry about that. And if you go, well, what is Zionism for any other group? I will levy to you the idea that, hey, do you notice how other groups don't really need a word for their own self-determination? Isn't that weird? How it's just kind of an innate understanding of identity, sovereignty, autonomy for other groups. But when it's Jews, it's like, oh, we need a little word here to convince people we're allowed to go where we want. So by that definition, right, if you think Jews as individuals should be allowed to choose where they go, as opposed to the Nazi government, the American government, any other government, any other individual telling us, no, you have to stay here. You're not allowed to go there. You're not allowed to see that. That is all that Zionism means. Are there people who use Zionism to mean blind support of the Israeli government? Yeah. There are also people who use all sorts of words wrong. And we don't go back and blame everybody else attached to them for that use, right? So let me ask you for just a moment, hey, if you're someone who's sitting there and you would answer yes to the question, do you think individual Jews should get to decide where they go the way everyone else does? Hey, I have news for you. You're also a Zionist. And if that makes your skin crawl, I need you to kind of contend with why. Because Naturi Karta is not Zionist. They're very open about that in the sense that they are anti the Israeli government and the current living situation of Jews in that country, that meaning Jews being there at all. But they are also not Zionists in the sense that despite them being Jews, they are not for Jewish self-determination. They are for Naturi Karta determination, where they get to say everybody out and everybody back in. In the same way that other groups are not Zionist because they want everyone out. They want everyone in. I just want to go to bed. That's my self-determination right now. And if you feel the same way, again, newsflash, you too may be a Zionist. When we come back, I have a caller and some texts. I have some other stuff I want to wrap up. I'm going to leave you to contend with those new thoughts with, once again, this song, Jokes on You by Charlotte Lawrence. But my makeup's ruined and now I'm laughing through my tears. I'm crying through my fear. But baby, if I had to choose, the joke's on.
93.5 The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. You are listening to I Want You to Love Me by Fiona Apple off of the Fetch the Bolt Cutters album. And it's not, I don't need you to love me. I don't. But I do need people to chill. And that's almost like love at this point. I think a form of love right now is everyone taking a deep breath and removing their thumbs from pies that were not theirs to begin with, perhaps. Mayhaps, even. I got 8 minutes left. I have so much on this docket that feels so related to these topics. And again, it's almost like I'm trying to summarize 6,000 years of religion and 300 years of conflict and 75 years of a political state and also 16 days of nonstop terror for everyone into a 145-minute show. Isn't that crazy? I guess so. But let me wrap up here, and then I'm going to go to the phones. Zionism, if it's about nothing else, and it is really about nothing else, is about giving Jews the right to self-determine. We were not allowed to self-determine in 1100 AD when we were kicked out of Israel by the Romans. We were not allowed to self-determine when we moved to Europe nomadically after that expulsion. And we were told, yeah, you can, I guess you can kind of live in Italy, and I guess you can kind of live in Poland, and you can kind of live in Germany, but really you're going to live in this new word we invented for you, which is the word ghetto. Did you know that? That the word ghetto was invented in Italy. It's an Italian word, meaning that's where the Jews live, in the little city outside of our protective walls. We were not allowed to self-determine then. We certainly were not allowed to self-determine when choices were made by the Nazi government. Oh, you don't get to live in this apartment anymore. You now have to live in this part of the city that we're going to wall off, and there will be no food and there will be no medicine. Oh, and now we're going to move you into a death camp. And now, I don't think I have to tell you what happens after that. That's the fear, folks. That is what happens when you cannot self-determine. And this is true. This is true for many communities. It's just that you don't end up having to need to invent a word for it because people just go, oh, yeah, those guys who are humans. Oh, you're right. They should get to make choices for themselves. I forgot. Darn it. I completely forgot. Okay. Did you? Or do you not like Jews? It's one of the two. And I don't know if I can keep believing that it's the whole we forgot to include you in our activism thing, right? Let's talk about how this has affected the world. In Tunisia, over the weekend, a historic synagogue, a 16th century synagogue, was burned to the ground by people calling themselves anti-Zionists. I don't have to walk you through how that logic doesn't pair out. But let me walk you through why it matters, okay? You are allowed to be so, so mad at the Israeli government. But express for me what a 16th century synagogue in Tunisia had to do with it. And if you can't, I have to levy to you once more that perhaps this thing that you're calling anti-Zionism, this behavior that you are performing that you're calling anti-Zionism is perhaps something completely different, rather known by its more popular name, anti-Semitism. Of course, there are forms of anti-Zionism that are not inherently anti-Semitism, but boy, howdy, do those Venn diagrams cross over a lot at times by certain people, and all those caveats I put on so that I don't have to fight the same argument 100 times. But what else are we doing? I'm telling you about a synagogue being burnt down. And if your mind isn't going immediately to imagery you learned about from World War II or the pogroms in Russia or all the other forms of Jewish genocide that happened before anyone started caring about it, anyone other than Jews, that is, what else is there to say? To talk about Israel and Tunisia. In 1948, the Jewish population of Tunisia was about 105,000. In 2019, that number was 1,000. And it's not because they passed away of natural causes. It's not because they all got a great timeshare in the Keys. It's because many were murdered, many were driven out. And those who were driven out, who could survive being driven out again in this century, where do you think they went? Where else could they go? And what does any of this mean? Great questions. I've been asking myself them a lot. What words are there on the backdrop of this info, on the background of the book of Revelations talking about a sign from the sky and how that's a reference to Genesis and the stars and the moon? How are there words for any of this when people are dying? I'm going to get asked that myself. I'm asking myself that. And it's because some of the few people on this earth right now who have the power, who have the pull, the money, the influence, the elected position to do anything meaningful about this, whether it's getting aid into Gaza, whether it's getting rid of Hamas, whether it's doing anything meaningful. Too many of those individuals, evangelical Christians and such, are choosing this prophetic idea. And yes, I said prophetic, not pathetic, but I understand how you could hear both at the same time there, above those lives. Now you know. Now that you are armed with this information, what will you do? I don't know. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to drive home and put my face in a pillow and scream for about 45 minutes before I check the news again. If you're doing the same, let me know. I want to thank you for listening, even though today turned into another one of those Anya gets on the air and just kind of yells facts angrily until she runs out of time shows. I promise on Friday when I am back, it will be a much lighter show because I will not allow myself to do this again. I will talk to you then about, again, this amazing Moon Artemis program that NASA is working on and how inspiring it is to see kids who are going to grow up in America, in a form of America again, where government-funded space programs, science programs mean so much. I'll talk to you about all those sorts of things. And please do tune in tomorrow. Maggie will be back with a very exciting guest, a musical guest. And you are going to hear some great music here tomorrow like you always do. Here's one last touch of some really great music. This is I Want You to Love Me by Fiona Apple.
I've waited many years. Every print I left upon the track has led me here. And next year it'll be clear. This was only leading me to that. And by that time...
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.